Do you know the alternatives of what coda actually means?
How do you mean?
Do you have any other references to the word coda? Like, do you know?
I know the music note.
Yep.
I know. Well, because the way I found coda, because there's a movie called Brother Bear, and there's a bear Brother cub bear. Called Coda. And that's and I love that freaking movie. I love that movie with my whole heart. And that's how I came up with the name Coda.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, I want to name myself after a fictional bear cub.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah. It was either that or Kovu, which is a character in the sequel to The Lion King.
And then COVID happened.
I actually had someone thought my name was COVID and they kept calling me COVID. It was a friend of mine's family function and they kept calling me COVID the whole day. To be fair, they were like 80 years old, so I didn't hold it against them.
Well, Bianca won't know what it means because it's related to music.
I actually will because it's written in front of me.
Oh, yeah, a concluding musical selection. So it's basically, even if it's like when you're going to your musicals, the sort of the last part, the song at the end or the that kind of stuff, that's the coda. So it's something that's always at the end.
Well, in my defense, mine's spelt with a K and that one, I believe, is spelt with a C. I know there's other things.
Swings and roundabouts.
That coda is in relation to. I don't know if there's anything else. I believe in Native American, like, I think it's Native American language. It means friend or ally.
Nice.
Which is excellent given that I'm part of the queer community.
It's also an acronym for kids of deaf adults.
It is, yes.
I do actually, I've heard Coda say this before, like you actually described your name to me. I think word for word if what you just said now, right? Because, yeah, I guess it's a script, right? You say the same.
Yeah, I do. That's the autism. Shout out to the autism for making me say the same lines over and over again. So then my brain doesn't have to overthink. And think too much to get the same thing out.
But then you get even better and better at that script as well, don't you think?
Definitely.
And so, Dan, you did the thing again where you didn't introduce Coda about...
I was about to say,
who am I, bro?
Because I needed to give the context of why, as soon as I heard the name, I went, oh, there's other words.
I know, there's so many ties to it.
And then I thought because of the C Coda... I thought a good introduction, because I actually don't know, you're going to have to give yourself an introduction to ask you what you actually do.
Yeah, that's fine.
I like to give introductions that don't actually relate at all.
But I love that.
It might be. This might be true. You tell me if any of this is true.
Okay. Yeah.
Coda has a particular quirk of always starting races after everyone else finishes. Coda's speeches start slow but always shine at the concluding remarks. Coda prefers dessert to the main meal. Coda's favourite song on any record is the last song, and Coda always waits for the encore at every concert.
You're not wrong. It's actually, that's low-key kind of factual. The ADHD does make me want to speed things up, but I also love to, like, you know, sit and listen. I love to hear everything, especially when it comes to music, because, like, even though my name's Coda, I love music. Like, I play music as well, so, and I love listening to music, and I love, like... If there's ever a concert or anything, I'm like, bro, give me more. Like, I need more of that music because it's so good. Sorry.
Oh, no, don't say sorry. I was just going to say, why do you say, even though my name is Coda, I still like music?
I don't know. I don't think things through in my head, bro. My brain works faster than my speech. So, like even when I'm talking sometimes, it might come out through the podcast, like through this episode too, that like I'll just skip entire bits of sentence or like I'll just say things and then mean the other thing because my brain's just working too fast.
Even though I have legs, I still enjoy sitting.
I'm going to use that from now on because I don't like music. So I should say, even though my name is Bianca, I don't like music.
Well, do you know what coda is in the end of the song? Because the coda is a music term.
That's right. That's a thing.
Okay. That's what we were talking about. Okay.
I wasn't listening. So.
Now, do you also know the song Kodachrome?
No.
And do you know the film Kodachrome, which is what it's about?
No, I don't.
Well, there you go. So with the old days when there was films and it wasn't digital, there was a very, very, very well-known film, Kodachrome, which it was a certain sort of colour. The colours were really intense on this kind of film. And Paul Simon, who I bet you know, from Simon and Garfunkel.
Oh, Simon. Yeah, I love Simon and Garfunkel.
It's got a song called Kodachrome.
You're joking.
Yep. So here's some of the lyrics.
Oh my God, Simon and Garfunkel know who I am. They know who I am. Oh God.
So Kodachrome, they give us those nice bright colours, give us the greens of summers, make you think all the world's a sunny day. Oh yeah. So So there you go. You're going to have to go and listen to the song.
I feel like I have a few buddies that would definitely describe me as that.
There you go. That's my intro.
Not to toot my own horn. Not to toot my own horn, but yeah.
Well, we need to get a bio from you now.
Okay.
Begin.
All right. So, hello. My name is Coda. My pronouns are he, they. I'll just start again. So I basically talk about my interests and what I do. Is that basically my little bio?
Just say whatever you want.
You say whatever you want.
Yeah, no, cool. All right, so start again. Dan doesn't want to wear a ting, so he's keeping it in. Sorry. All right, cool. We're on the air. All right. My name's Coda. My pronouns are he, him, and they, them. I'm 23 years old, and my passions are music, psychology, animals. I am a proud cat and dog dad to my dog Remus and my cat Edelin. My passion is support work. I absolutely love support work. I've actually become an independent support worker now. So if you're hearing out there and you're in the Melbourne eastern suburbs and you're a support worker, I got you.
She got the ad in very quickly.
Yeah, I know.
Remus, right. Isn't Remus the asshole of something?
The asshole of something? Because what he's named after, if you're a Harry Potter fan out there, is Remus Lupin.
Of course, I was trying to get the connection.
Who is, funnily enough, a werewolf, I believe, and that's in the movie films. But there is also Remus and Romulus, who are the brothers that founded Greece.
That's the one
I believe Remus is the one that died and Romulus was the one that lived.
Yep.
Well, they both died in the end, but besides that.
And what about Edelin?
Edelin. So if you... No, the Owl House, there is a character called Edelin, and she is the Owl Lady, and she is a witch. She's a witch in the show because everyone in the Boiling Isles is a witch, but she is just basically a chaos gremlin of a character, and that describes my cat very well.
Wow. I cannot wait to find out if you have kids and what they're going to be called.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be very
interesting. Oh, that'd be quite something.
Yeah. Toast.
Toast.
It's a great name for
Bootleg.
A kid. Bootleg. I've only thought of that back in the day.
It would be toast. Something like, if I were to ever have, I probably wouldn't, if I ever were to have my own children, I'd probably name them something, give them a nickname, and then it's like, oh no, it's short for this, like Megan, and then the kid's name is Megatron. that's what I'd do. But I'd give it obviously something that wouldn't ruin their life forever when they have to go to a doctor's appointment or something.
Ah, screw them.
No, I'd think of something better than that. This is just on the fly.
You haven't heard of the name. I promise this is my last music reference.
Yeah, no, you're fine.
A Boy Named Sue. Have you ever listened to A Boy Named Sue?
A Boy Named Sue. Oh, it sounds really familiar. Oh, who's a boy?
Johnny Cash.
Do know this, yes.
The father named him Sue because he wanted to grow up strong because he wasn't going to be around.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that anyway.
No, you're fine. I actually have a point. But yeah.
You've got a point to make?
No, it just reminds me of something.
Oh. You go. Oh, it reminded me of something as well, but I can't remember who the person was, but they named, it was some rock star, named their child some very feminine name, and they're a boy, and they said they wanted them to grow up very tough. That was all I was going to say. It could have been like, no. No idea, can't remember.
It'd be like, no. No, but that reminds me of, because I know... funnily enough, I'm going to bring up Barbie because I love the Barbie movie and I love the history of Barbie. But when I believe this was back in the 70s, I've only researched this a little bit, but there was a doll that came out and he was known as like the gay Ken, but they named him Bruce.
Yeah.
So Bruce was considered a gay name back in the 70s.
That's an interesting one. In Australia and in England, it wouldn't, because Monty Python had this ongoing joke thing where everyone who's Australian was called Bruce.
Bruce.
G'day, Bruce. Just, how you doing, Bruce? Not bad, Bruce.
And you just hear the name Bruce and you're like, Bruce. Like, I think of Bruce from Finding Nemo, that big, the really big shark. You're like, hello.
Yeah.
That's going to be so weird in the mic.
And they would have got that from Monty Python.
Yeah, it's interesting, social perceptions and socially constructed things and how we love to tie things to gender. It is quite interesting.
Yes.
We just tie things to gender. In reality, Bruce doesn't have a penis or a vagina. We never know.
That's true. And inanimate objects.
I've got
well.
A question. Animism. This is something that is, I think, a lot of people would probably be wondering. I guess a lot of autistic people are all over it. Other autistic people have no idea about it. But I would like to know more about sort of, you've got two lots of pronouns. That can be a lot for some people not understanding. Because I think you just said they, them, he, Him.
Him.
Yes. So you're saying whatever you feel like or whatever you're feeling like, or I just don't really understand, and maybe even explain pronouns in general, really.
Yeah, no. So pronouns, plot twist, we all have them. It's basically pronouns, we use pronouns to refer to somebody instead of their name. So instead of saying Bianca is on their way, Bianca is driving their car, Bianca just came back from the shops, I say Bianca's on their way, she's just coming back from the shops and she's driving her car. That's the basic way I can explain it. I remember I had a friend of mine, I came out as trans, and he actually asked me, so do only gay people have pronouns? And I live that is my Roman Empire. I love that moment of my entire life. And I referred to a coworker. I was like, well, if you're not going to call her a name, what are you going to call her? And he's like, well, she, oh. So it's quite something. So, yeah, plot twist, we all have pronouns. And to get on to the main point of the question, when I say he, him, or they, them, I basically don't mind whether people use he, him, or they, them for me. So if you look at me and you think that I'm more masculine, that's like, yeah, you can say this is Coda, he is my friend and he's on the podcast. Or if you don't know what the hell I am, you can say this is Coda, they're on the podcast and they're a pretty sick bloke. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to jump in again. Interesting, because I spoke to like autistic people, everybody is different. So not, yes, you know, one non-binary person is like everybody else, because I was also speaking to a non-binary person the other day and I said to them, would you prefer if someone mistook, so they were born female, now identify as non-binary, I think, yes. So I said, would you prefer people to mistake you for a male or mistake you for a female? That's a good question, don't you think? And they said, I would prefer them to ask my pronouns.
Yes.
Yes, but you don't mind the male or non-binary.
Yeah, I personally don't care. Like, that's just up to me. Like, I know I'm personally more comfortable with he, him, or they, them. I get she, her a lot because I do present more feminine. Like, I don't pass, which passing is basically, you know, you pass as the gender that, like, people socially perceive you as the gender that you align with. So I don't stereotypically pass, so I get she, her a lot. Which is
like it's getting a driver's license.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you don't meet the criteria, you're stuffed. Yeah, you don't meet the criteria, get stuffed. But so I get she-heard a lot, and I personally don't care about that either because, you know, I've been she-heard my whole life. It doesn't really affect me.
Yep.
And if it's somebody that I do know and not just any Joe Blow off the street, I'll be like, oh, like I use he, him, or they, them. You can choose whichever set of pronouns you want. If it's any, like just any Joe Blow off the street, I'm not really going to care because I'm only going to know them for about 5 seconds. But that's just me. That's just me personally. Like obviously if you're someone out there and someone misgenders you, you are more than welcome to absolutely correct them because that's your identity. Like, you know, they'd be up in arms the exact same if you got their name wrong or if you thought they were a girl and it was like, oh, I'm a boy. Like, yeah, they'd be absolutely up in arms too. So you are more than welcome, more than you can absolutely advocate for yourself. Okay. And yeah.
So you're talking about perception of others.
Yes.
But what about personal perceptions where sometimes, I identify more as they or him at particular times, and it changes at different times depending.
That's called gender fluidity.
Fluidity, exactly.
Yes.
So how does that fit into perceptions externally and internally?
I'm really happy to talk about this because I identify as non-binary, but I also identify with the term gender fluid, meaning that my gender expression and my gender identity, like it shifts and changes. So sometimes I feel more like I want to be perceived as they, them, and I feel more perceived, like I feel more non-binary, like neither aligned with male or female. And sometimes I feel more masculine aligned. So I want to be perceived as more, you know, masculine, perceived as a boy, use he, him. Sometimes she, her, it's most likely going to be more a she, they, or a he, like she, him, she, her, or he, him type of situation.
It's so funny because I'm thinking about, we've talked about this in the past where I probably trait-wise and everything identify more as a female autistic than male. And so, again, it's within that's a different construct where I could, if I felt I wanted to, identify as female autistic.
So what about
he, him, but female autistic?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I was just going to say, is it kind of like when I get up in the morning and I am very sometimes I want to wear a dress and look quite feminine, and other times I want to look, what do you call me, scruffy, Dan?
Scruffy, so, very scruffy.
Wear scruffy clothes, which are just nothing, but it's kind of similar in that, like, I might, is that, I'm asking actually, is it similar that I want to just, I feel like it's an ADHD thing. I have so many clothes in my wardrobe, they're all different personalities. No. Do you think it's, like, similar to that?
That's more. Yeah. That's a lifestyle choice.
Yeah. No, I can understand where you're coming from, but also it's more of an internal thing. Like, I know that if I started to referring you as a boy and gave you a more masculine name, like, I don't know, Billy.
Bruce.
Yeah, like, you wouldn't be particularly happy about that. So, yeah,
So I'd like to just comment on that because when I was younger, my mother, who listened to this podcast, she cut my hair short, probably like your hair, when I was in grade one and grade two. And so people would always call me a male, a boy. And sometimes it'd be kids would be like, is that a girl or a boy? Oh, they got earrings. It must be a girl. And so if someone did mistake me, which does happen because I'm tall, they don't look up like at a register and they might say, thanks, sir. And then they look up and I'm just mortified. It brings me back to that time.
Do you really? Really? Wow.
So what do you do? Do you
correct them? Do you say like, or do you just wait for them to look up and be, and they're just kind of like, oh shit.
Check these out.
They don't look up because I don't want to be put in that situation. It's awkward for me. And so I would prefer if they don't even notice and we just both go along our day.
And just shut up. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you mentioned that because that's how a lot of non-binary and trans people feel. Like if we get misgendered, because if I get she heard, like, I don't, because we also, it's because A, it's really hard to advocate for ourselves, so sometimes we just don't bother, but also B, we don't want to make it a whole big thing and we don't know how the person's going to react. So like if you say, I'm a woman, and then like you don't know how they're going to react. So a lot of trans and non-binary people usually will just let it go because we'll usually only correct somebody if we feel safe to actually do so. A lot of people will agree with me on that. Usually we'll just let it go.
Oh God, I want to throw a spanner in the works now to see how you respond.
Really? No, I'm kidding.
I don't think that the gender is binary.
Oh, no way.
So how can you use the term non-binary? Because everyone is.
Well, because binary literally just means one or the other.
Yeah.
So in our society, we've got male and female.
But we don't know. We know that that's not the case. There can be down to chemical. There's a whole lot of aspects of people who don't even know that they would have...
Yeah.
You know, well, both reproductive organs, things like that. There's a whole lot of grey in there. There is no such thing as...
Exactly. Binary. So that's the medical... That's in a medical sense.
Yes.
Where, you know, you've got male, you've got female, and then you've got intersex, and then there's, like, different chromosome.
Yes.
Like, even outside of, I believe, intersex, that or it's inside. Don't quote me on that too much.
Yep.
But there's, like, XY, then there's XX, but then there's XXY,
exactly.
And there's Y. There's everything in there. That's in a medical sense. In a social sense...
Yep.
Like, you know, we've been brought up with, okay, you're either male or female and, you know, shut up and get along with it. So that's what I mean in the context of binary. So we've got the gender binary of male and female, and then non-binary just simply describes outside of that.
Should we change that language? Like, evolution is just a theory. There's a you know, theory for the layperson means something very different to a scientist. And it's really screwed things up.
It depends what field you come from. I personally like the language because it describes it in a nice little package with a bow. Because you describe binary, one or the other, and that's what socially it is. Socially, it's male or female. Because I feel like when it comes to advocacy, you know, we have our side of like obviously, you know, gender equality. You know, everyone has the right to identify how we are, but we also need to understand the other side where it's like, you know, there's only male and female.
Yep.
And that's often how when we advocate and when you talk to somebody, you get on their level. So you're like, okay, yes, there is male and female. That's called the gender binary. And then we talk about non-binary. So it's about adapting the language to really, like, especially when you're in the advocating space, it's about using their own language, really.
Yep.
So, yes, language should change because, like, we're the English language. It evolves every single day. Like, the word riz. Have you heard of the term riz, Dan?
I've heard of
riz. When you riz someone up?
No.
No?
I do. I know riz.
You know riz?
Don't ask me to define it, though.
I'm just thinking.
The young people use it now. Riz is like, someone has riz. Who's got riz?
Who's got riz? Who's got a good
riz? What?
Who's got riz?
Riz. Respect riz. Riz.
No.
Riz.
No. It's like, I don't. Who's got riz?
I'd argue that I have riz.
Okay,
I'd argue that I have
Riz. What about Robert Irwin?
Oh, he's definitely got Riz. Yes. He has definitely got Riz. He is a, I'm not even into men, but he is a hunk of spunk, the little man. But he's a very good looking guy. I'd argue that he has Riz. He's actually got a girlfriend now.
No, they broke up.
Do they actually? They You're joking. Up, yeah. Oh,
just
man.
Went to South Africa.
You're kidding.
Nope. I'm just going to call my wife right now.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Are you about to ask her if she knows what Riz means?
Right, okay. No. I'm assuming probably people haven't heard the sound of the dogs.
What?
Could you please let the dogs inside so they don't bark?
Sure.
Thank you, dear. Bye.
We're trying to film a podcast. But Riz basically refers to, like, the flirt.
What?
Like, you know, do you have good flirtatious... Oh, yeah, flirtatious charisma.
Do you have flirtability?
Basically, that's... And Riz literally became... Word of the Year 2023. So Riz is in the dictionary. And, you know, they have new updated versions of getting back onto what the actual thing was. The actual topic was Riz is in the dictionary now, which you look, you ask any Gen Z or Gen Alpha and they just go, you've got to be joking. Because, but yeah, language evolves every single day. So yeah, like when I get, and I love to talk about this a lot, when I get older, like, there's going to be new words and knowledge and terminology for gender that I'm probably not going to get.
Yes.
That I'm going to have to learn.
Yep.
Like, I think people start to think, like, oh, it's only just now that everyone's starting to come out with this. It's like, no, not only has it existed in history, like, neo-pronouns, for example, and different sorts of pronouns outside of he, she, they mm-hmm. have existed since the 13th century. And
in Europe...
What's neo?
So neo pronouns. Okay, so just a quick thing on neo pronouns. Neo pronouns, so neo, literally meaning new, and pronouns. So pronouns that are outside of he, she, they. So like in the 13th century, the first evidence of a neo pronoun is thon. So thon, thons, thon self. And it literally just describes the one.
Yep.
The one. That is literally what it is. And it's, and yeah, there's evidence of people using thon pronouns and... it's the only one I can think of the top of my head.
Well, there's other cultures that have had different terminologies that aren't just like of a binary nature.
Pre-colonization, like so much evidence of, you know, gender outside of the gender binary, as we call it, pronouns, you know, and like in Aboriginal cultures, there's sister, this sister girl and brother boy.
Yep.
Which describes... it's basically an Aboriginal term for Aboriginal people outside of the gender binary.
Okay.
Or inside the gender binary because, like, a trans man that goes to, trans femme, so someone transitioning from male to female would still be in the binary because they identify as a woman.
Well, before we get into you particularly,
mm-hmm.
One of the questions that I've discovered here
mm-hmm.
was, can a non-binary person be straight?
Yes. How? That is purely up to them.
If you didn't hear that, Bianca said how.
How? Well, how in terms of, like, are they straight with other non-binary people? Or what does straight mean? Or are you talking about what their gender? Oh, no, because their gender, that's what we need to say. Their gender has nothing to do with their sexuality.
Right. That's it. So it is purely up to the person. So let's say that they're assigned female at birth and they come out as non-binary and they date a... somebody that identifies as male. They are absolutely allowed to identify as straight because that is purely up to them. It is simply just language.
Yep.
So they don't have to change their label or anything like that. Like, a common thing you hear is when, for example, a trans guy starts dating a girl, like, people think that the girl is a lesbian because, you know, they were assigned female at birth. That's simply mm-hmm. not the case because they identify as a male. So they are in a straight relationship.
Yep.
And, yeah, if somebody... Oh, we've got an audience. Look at that.
Are we talking about the magpie or the horrible
bat? I know. We've got a few audiences here. Yes. Hello. Welcome to the podcast.
She hangs around a lot.
Yes. But no. So that is purely up to the person whether they want to identify as straight. Like, even if, you know, there's two people in a relationship, a male and a female, a girl and a boy, sorry. And they've been in a relationship for a while and one person realizes, oh, I'm non-binary. I want to come out as, like, use they, them pronouns and come out as non-binary.
Yep.
That is purely up to them whether they still want to identify as straight and purely up to the partner whether they want to still identify as straight. Yep. And no one really has a say in that because it's purely up to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's my stance on it.
Okay, and now I've got another question, but yes. I just actually bumped your phone and I just saw your picture. Look at a picture.
Oh, I for Neurodiversity Celebration Week, I watched her talk.
Do you mean Chloe Hayden?
Yep.
Yes, for context, Chloe's.
Is it she?
She, her, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for context, Chloe Hayden and her mum, Sarah Hayden, had a seminar on Saturday, and I actually got to meet Chloe Hayden, and even though it was only a 15-second conversation, it was the best conversation of my life. Because she is literally so sweet. Shout out to you, Chloe, if you're listening right now.
So what did she say? Tell me what...
Oh, no. So, yeah, we literally just like, yeah, I just said like, yo, you're, because I've watched her when I was learning about my autism, which might have been the start of 2020, which was 4 years ago, which is really weird to say out loud. Yeah. And, you know, like back when she was Princess Aspian on YouTube and she was, you know, talking about her autism, her ADHD, her journey and everything like that, and her journey through schools and everything, because like if you've read her book, Different Not Less, like, you know, it really goes into it and it's such a beautiful book. Mm. And yeah, so I was just basically saying like how inspirational she is to me. I absolutely adore her. And I actually asked her, because I've got a lot of tattoos. I've got a lot of tattoos. I got like 12 tattoos in the one, in 10 months, in the span of 10 months.
Jesus, becoming a theme here.
Oh, yeah. And I asked her, because I've got a few animals. I've got frogs. I've got snakes. I've got a snake. I've got a bee. I've got a butterflies. But I don't have a frog. And she loves her frog. So I asked her what species of frog I should get tattooed on me. a white-lipped tree frog. Because I believe she's got... I believe her frog Evangeline is a white-lipped tree frog.
Okay.
I believe.
Now, I just have another question, and that is, so if I'm somewhere and there's someone with, like, queer badges on, or like, rainbows or whatever on them, is it rude for me to go up and ask them, I mean, obviously know what that means, but is it rude, do you think, to say, in what way are you queer? Now, the person I spoke to last week, they said, if someone says, I'm queer, that often means they actually don't want to tell you exactly what they are, so maybe don't ask. Whereas if they've just got that on, you might go over and say, oh, what, you know, what does that mean? If they just say, I'm queer, you don't then say... How are you queer? What do you have to say?
Yeah, I do understand where they're coming from, because usually, like, if, like, someone notices that I have a pride badge on, I just say, I'm queer, because it's a lot easier to then, like, it's a lot easier to just say, oh, I'm queer, I'm part of the community, than to say, okay, I'm non-binary, gender fluid, and I'm also asexual, and my pronouns are he, they, and I like to use he and they interchangeably. It's a lot easier just to say I'm queer. And again, if it's any Joe Blow on the street, I'm just going to say I'm queer, because it's a lot easier to just do that than to really delve in and like delve in into my identity and like, you know, how I discovered it, like how I came out 4 years ago and how I really discovered when I was like 12 years old or something. So it's just a lot easier to say that. So I do sort of agree with where they're coming from. I don't know. I must have missed that social cue when it said that if someone says they're queer, they don't want to talk about it. I must have missed that social cue. But yeah. So what was the other bit to that question? And they were wearing...
I don't think there was another bit to the question. No. I don't think, but...
Oh, hang on, wait. Oh. Like, you said that if they're wearing pride pins, like, should you be able to go up to them and say, hey, are you... in what way are you queer? Not really.
No.
Like, you know, if I just went up to you and I said, like, say you were... Are you a real ginger? Are you a real redhead?
Ginger.
I like to pretend I am.
Like, if I went up to you and said, like, if I saw that you were a redhead and I'm like, oh, what part of Europe are you from? Or what part of Scotland are you from?
I thought you were going to go somewhere very different just then.
Yeah? Well, what do you think I was going to say?
Under the curtain, hopefully something the drapes.
Hopefully. Oh, no. I don't particularly want to get cancelled. Thank you very much. No, I was not going to say that.
There's another thing that you just said before, and that was about being asexual. I would like you to... roll out the carpet on that. What do you say, Dan?
Roll out the carpet.
You know, explain.
What ways am I asexual?
Yeah. And actually explain, because some people probably don't know that either.
Yes, that's no. I talk about asexuality and people just go, like, you don't like sex. Because, okay, so, and for God knows, I'm okay with talking about being asexual. Otherwise, I wouldn't be answering that question. So asexuality means that, as a definition, means that you experience little to no sexual attraction towards any gender, towards anybody of any gender. Me personally, I experience no sexual attraction towards anyone of any gender, and I have zero desire to be in a sexual relationship with people.
So then my question is, like you said, Robert Irwin has Riz. So can you explain, because some people would say, but you just said that you found that he was attractive. So elaborate.
Yes. So attraction doesn't mean action. Mm. So I can be physically attracted to somebody. Does it not mean I want to shag them?
Yep.
Okay. I can say that, yes, Robin Irwin is a attractive young man. Is he? He's just clarify. He's over 18.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Good. Woo. All right. But yes, I do not want to shag him. All right. I am currently in a relationship with my girlfriend. And yes, I have, even though I am absolutely in love with her, I still experience romantic attraction. I am absolutely adore her with my whole heart. And she knows that I'm asexual. She knew that I was asexual before getting into the relationship. And she knows that I have zero sexual attraction towards her. I was trying to remember.
Now my brain has so many questions.
I'm thinking maths now. I'm thinking married at first sight. You'd be bloody useless on there because that's all they want to talk
about. I
feel
like that's the other way around. Everyone's sexually attracted but not romantically attracted.
Yes. Mm. Oh, that's true. But my question, I guess, then, because obviously your girlfriend is not here, didn't know you had one. Now I'm like, I guess, yeah, no. I did not have you in that box. That wasn't part of the box. So my question then is, but like you can choose whether you go into detail or not. So yes. Are you actually kissing each other?
Yes, we do pash on the occasion. We go for a bit of a schmooch. Sometimes there's tongue in there. That's just my relationship personally though. So yeah, attraction does not equal action. So obviously you can and this is the thing I love to say. We've accepted sex without the love in the form of hookups, one night stands, married at first sight. But we haven't accepted, we've accepted sex without the love, but somehow we're not able to wrap our head around love without the sex.
Yep.
Yes, no, that's right. Because now I'm wondering, so you're kissing her. Are you enjoying it?
Yes, I don't mind it.
You don't mind it like you don't mind eating some corn chips.
Oh, my God. Fuck, no, please say that quicker.
It's okay. It's okay. I'm happy to talk about these questions. No, I don't. I personally don't like foreplay. So, no, we don't. Kissing and cuddling, that's probably as far as I go because I know me and I know if that were to go any further, eating out, oral or, missionary.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know a lot of sex positions. That's personally not me.
Well, I want to ask a question that's generic. Using the actual word asexual.
Yes.
Because I don't want it to be a personal question. Does that mean a person who's asexual has no need for orgasms, things that sort of release?
That's up to the person. So right. With the definition of little to no.
Yep.
Sexual attraction. So you can experience sexual attraction and still be asexual. You can still desire to have sex and
I'm
still
just
be asexual.
About personal.
Was this on personal or was this
just on your own? Like just the actual physical.
Oh, masturbation
process of yeah.
Masturbate. Yeah. Yeah. There's plenty of asexual people that still masturbate.
Right.
Because it's a physical thing, isn't that right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and it can also. It's purely up to the person, but yeah. So when you're asexual, you can still absolutely masturbate. You can still have sex because, again, attraction, not action. So,
right.
You can still do the actions that of, sex and everything like that. You're just not attracted to that idea or attracted to whoever you're, yeah.
And how's about this for an analogy? You don't like to clean the toilet, but it must be done.
What the hell?
I don't like cleaning the toilet or what?
You probably don't mind doing the other things. So, no, it said you could still
I think
do
you
it.
Mean the other way around.
Do I?
Maybe.
No. I don't really have an analogy for it, but all I mean.
That's not the right one.
That's I'm
not averse to a good plunging once in a while.
I mean, I feel like some people wouldn't mind a good plunging. I feel like some people would be okay with a good plunging. Just friendly reminder, this is a safe space. So, and Bianca is still learning in the same way that Dan is still learning, in the same way that I'm still learning. So, yes. But I don't really have an analogy in terms of that. All I really say is that society's accepted sex without the love, but we can't accept love without the sex.
So is there a terminology for someone who just doesn't want to have a sexual release at all?
Mm.
And they're not Christian. Fundamentalist.
Well, yes, because this is actually brought up a lot, like abstinence and celibacy, because I've been compared to that a lot. It's like, oh, you're celibate or, oh, you're abstinence. And I'm like, no, because celibacy is a choice.
Yeah.
And I didn't choose to be asexual.
Yep.
Like with gender and sexuality, you do not choose to be gay, bisexual, non-binary, transgender. You do not choose those things. So when people say that I'm celibate or waiting for marriage, which was a hilarious conception to me. Yeah, it's not a choice. I actually have a very funny story relating to this. So I, for context, I was in a relationship and the family was Christian. And assuming that my partner at the time was Christian, I actually, this should have been a clear sign that I was indeed asexual. I just thought to myself, oh, I'll date this guy and then when we get married, then I'll be ready for sex. But I was not sexually attracted to him at the time or ever. That was just my mindset that like, oh, I'll be ready eventually, which is what Which is what a lot of people think and why a lot of people don't come out as asexual or don't realize they are sexual, because like even I've heard, oh, you just haven't found the right person, or you just haven't found like had a good orgasm, you just haven't anything, blah, 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 blah. There's always a reason why I'm not asexual. And it's like, no, like personally, I've tried it and it just wasn't for me. And then I found the term asexuality when I was 20 and I said, yeah, that's definitely like my experiences and I'm... Yeah. Ooh.
Sorry, I got to write something.
What have you found?
I got another one for later.
Ooh, okay.
Don't look what I'm doing. Don't look.
No peeking. No peeking.
All right. Well, we're facing it the opposite way anyway.
To the autism part.
Let's talk about.
I was about to do that now. So I guess what we're going to ask you is your timeline. Like, you've got a few different things. You've got asexual. You've got non-binary. You've got all the different things, and autism and ADHD. So you can.
What's track number one on the album?
Yeah. How about you just start at the beginning, but not with not obviously great detail of when I was one. Blah blah blah.
You know. It is a bit like a Pink Floyd album. You know, Dark Side of the Moon. Pink Floyd album. It just sort of like, you know, there's all different stories, but they all can they're not sort of one after the other, so it's kind of a bad analogy, but you get the gist of it.
Screaming.
Screaming. Yep. Lots of meltdowns, lots of breakdowns, lots of episodes. So are we talking about my autism journey, queer journey, whole journey? Okay.
Well, yeah. What came first, really?
The autism actually came first, but not in the way everyone thinks. So for I was diagnosed, and context, I'm assigned female at birth, so... People are going to hear this, and if they know, they know. I was diagnosed at 2 years old, 2 to 3 years old, which, what? If anyone knows, is really early. Really, 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 really early. Well, yeah. Oh, yeah, because I was born 2000.
Bloody hell.
So, yes, 2002, 2003, I was diagnosed. Like, that psychiatrist or pediatrician, I can't remember who diagnosed me, was like, yep, that is an autistic child. Like, she's a girl, but that is some clear autism. I like to say that I reeked of autism as a kid, and I still reek of autism.
Interesting. So does that mean you think there was more identification of male autism, like I was saying before, because it's easier for these people to have, back then, being able to sort of work out autism in a person?
Well, because I actually have a very strong opinion on this, because everyone talks about male or like boy autism versus girl autism.
Yeah.
Which, because you know, autism was studied on boys initially back in the 80s. So they only ever studied boys, much like everything.
Yep.
A lot of medical studies, they only ever studied on boys. Yep. Only ever studied on white boys. And even when they were looking at autism back in the early 40s, which was actually in World War II, if anyone knows their history. Because there was the person that really coined the term, or Asperger's is what it was called, Hans Asperger. He was a Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a lot of Nazi connotations. And when he came up with the term Asperger's literally basically just like divided autism into two parts, high functioning and low functioning. You might have heard these labels before.
Of course.
And you might still use these labels. They're actually quite harmful for the autistic community, because high functioning means... basically that you have lower support needs, you know, you're able to mask a lot easier and, you know, you just don't look autistic, which I've gotten a lot. And
But you're also a more contribution to society in general.
Oh, yes. I'm about to get to that in a second. Yeah. And low functioning means, you know, much higher support needs, could be nonverbal, could be, you know, you need 24/7 care. That's an extreme example, but yes. And yes, contributing to society was actually why they made those functioning labels, because back in Nazi Germany, World War II, if you were low functioning, you were sent to the gas chambers. Yep. If you were high functioning, you were kept alive and actually to work as a slave in Nazi Germany.
Yep, your views.
So literally, high and low functioning is life or death.
Yes.
That's the way I see it.
That's its origins.
That's its origins. Yep. So that's why I don't like the labels. And now Asperger's is no longer a part of the DSM-5, so you can no longer get diagnosed with Asperger's. It is literally exactly. autism. I know there's the levels. There's autism level 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, which is really dumb in my opinion, but I won't go open that can of worms just yet. What was the actual question? So you can tell this. You can tell this is a room full of ADHDers.
No, well, that, you've told us. So age at age 2.
Well, actually, but also, like, you got diagnosed at 2. However, you were not told.
Oh yes, I was. Right. So I was diagnosed. I had all the paperwork. I failed my CARS scores, failed the neurotypical test, and but I had all the supports. So I stayed back a year at kinder. I went to special school, as they called it. So special, like before, like pre. K. So I went to kinder as well as preschool that was specialized with autistic children. I had a respite carer. I had support workers. And when I went to school, I had an integration aide up until year 6. Because when I was in year 6, I got tested, not realizing that it was to see whether I needed integration aide or not. Some right. lady just pulled me out of class and asked me to line up these blocks and actually brush my, like, mimic brushing my teeth.
Yep.
She asked me to mimic brushing my teeth, which a lot of people have actually mentioned when they get their autism assessments. Mm. People ask them, like the assessors ask them to mimic brushing their teeth.
Mm.
I don't know why that's such a popular one, but oh well, I'm not a medical or diagnostic professional.
Coordination.
I'm guessing so. That's yeah.
Yeah.
And even if you have the motivation to brush your teeth, because let's be honest here, the start or end of the day is not when I work. But yeah.
So when were you aware?
I learnt when I was 19.
19. So yeah, well, you were.
So that's a big age gap. So either like, so I was diagnosed before I even entered school, and I learnt about it after school. Now I say that I it was actually when I started working at my first job that's very neurodiversity affirming,
mm-hmm.
and well, when I was looking for a job and. I basically looked through, actually the way that I learned that I was autistic was actually through memes on Instagram and through Chloe Hayden. So yep. I just stumbled across her page one day and, you know, she was talking about all these autistic experiences. Mm. And then I started doing some soul searching and in the form of memes on Instagram, you can tell I'm a Gen Zer. And there were all these autism memes, you know, describing like the autistic experience and even like the dark humor. Autistic yep. like memes, and I was looking at them, and there was this one particular meme that had it was a screenshot of. Does anyone know the show Arthur the Aardvark? No, it was an old
the old cartoon.
Yeah, the old cartoon.
Oh yeah, loved it.
Yeah. Anyway, so Arthur's got a little sister called DW.
Yes,
and there's a scene. I believe there's some sort of cutscene where she's surrounded by a million other DWs. So it's the one DW in the middle, and she's surrounded by so many other DWs. And the caption was, when you look back at all your life, when you look back at certain instances and realize they were autism. Mm,
yes.
That's how I found out that I, like, that was the, like, absolutely defining thing of, oh, shit, I'm okay. autistic.
Did you go to your parents then and ask, or did you?
No, because.
How did you know you actually got?
So, like, I say that I learned when I was 19,
yeah.
but even though. My parents were like, because I looked at a program on the project and they had a kid who was autistic and he was describing his experiences and I just went, Mom, am I autistic? And I was like, what's autism? And she's like, your brother, because he's also autistic.
Right.
And I said, am I autistic? And she's like, yeah. And then we just never spoke about it again.
Oh, God. Okay.
It just never got touched on. Oh. And so that's why I say I learned at 19.
Yeah.
Because even though I knew about the word, you know, that was just it. And then, you know, I started working for this company. I worked at the ICANN network. I'm working at the ICANN network. Yeah, the ICANN network, which is very neurodiversity affirming. Started learning more about autism, started learning, and even about ADHD. I didn't get diagnosed with ADHD until I was 22 years old. No, yes, 22.
So I have a question then. So you started working for ICANN before knowing that you're autistic?
Basic, like they sort of came at the same time. They came at the same time. And like, you know, I was just out of school. I needed a job. And I was just like, oh no. Ah, how could I forget about this? Because the ICANN network came to my school in year 12. So they all sort of fell together at the same time.
Just explain ICANN network too.
So the ICANN network is a Victorian-based organization that that does school programs and online programs for young autistic students.
Yep.
It's by autistic people for autistic people. So the CEO, Chris Varney, he's autistic as well. He made it up with his three buddies, Penny Robertson and James Ong. That's it. Yep. So they all started ICANN. And back in, I think 10-year anniversary was last year. So it'd be almost 11 years now.
So I'm just, I guess it's a bit confusing. So you, do you went to a special, pre-kid, preschool, but not for primary or secondary?
No. So, yeah, I know my ADHD is really messing up the timeline here. So diagnosed at 2, went to a kindergarten. I had 2 years of kindergarten. They kept me back. And at the same time, I was doing a special needs, I was at special needs school as well. That was based centralized for autistic kids. Then had all the supports in high school. You know, that was a bit of a blur. Primary school, high school, that was all a blur. And then graduated year 12, started working with ICANN. Also saw Chloe Hayden, and then ICANN came to my school as well. That's how I found out about them. And then basically learning about my autism. And a year late, probably a year after that, so start of 2021 was when I actually came out. I initially came out as River. That was the first name I chose for myself. And that was when I was really, starting to figure out my queer identity.
I had a song for that too, if you needed it anyway.
River.
Lots of them. Yeah, it was a lot.
Old Man River.
I'm on the drug that killed River Phoenix.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, prefer Coda.
Yeah. No, so did I, because I originally came out because I wanted to use Coda, but it sounded too similar to a family member's name. And because I knew that my family was very, I'll say that they weren't very accepting. You know, they didn't outwardly say that they weren't accepting, but it was just basically in their demeanor of, hopefully she'll forget about it. Like them saying she, because they never use my preferred pronouns. They're like, she'll forget about it. You know, it's just a phase. What about, we'll just brush it under the rug. Plot twist, never happened. Still here.
And so there's this intersection that comes in now.
Yes. With
this other big aspect and understanding of yourself.
Yes.
Around the same age.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah, basically. Like, it's all just sort of because, growing up, I knew I was different. With the autism, with the queer journey, I already knew. It's just I never had the language. So when I started, hanging out with more neurodivergent people, more queer people, because there's also, because queer neurodivergence is very common. It's 70% of autistic people are going to identify with the queer community in some way.
Yep.
Because it is very, very common.
Yes.
And so they all just sort of fell in together. Both worlds sort of just fell in together. And even though I feel pretty confident in my identity now, I know that I'm still going to be learning, which is a lot of people's experiences. Different labels will come out or different things will, different concepts. And you'll do your own research when it comes to this stuff, but won't stick with the same label all the time. I might say, hey, I'm just non-binary and I'm not transgender. Or I might say, I'm not gender fluid, or I identify more with this label or things like that.
So do you think your parents or family, just didn't think that they didn't want label, they didn't care about labels? Why was it not important to actually sit you down and talk about it?
I'm not too sure. Maybe it was because a matter of maybe they didn't have the actual knowledge themselves. And, because I talk with a lot of parents and they're like, I want to tell my kid, but I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to get the wrong information and I don't want to put it in their head that, it's a bad thing. First of all, tell your kids, because they already know that they're different. They just don't know how. And if you're worried about how to actually frame it, there's so many good resources out there to, even social scripts, because us autistics love social scripts, to tell your kid that they're autistic. Even if it's a simple, hey, you've got this, you've got a diagnosis, your brain's just wired a little differently. Let's work together and, figure out who you are as a person. We still love you. You're still the same person as you were yesterday or 10 minutes ago. You've just got this word.
And I read a song.
I
read a song to explain it to Eloise.
Oh, okay.
And so I should properly record it.
Yeah.
Afraid. But afraid wire sometimes, And I should record it and
afraid
put
wire.
It out there.
Yeah, I'd love to hear this song. Thank you.
That was a conversation killer.
No, I'm not playing it now. We both thought you were playing the song.
No.
I was just going to ask.
I'm not going
to
have time.
Sorry, you were talking. Okay, so there's I meet a lot of, because I hang out with a lot of carers, with people with autism. What about the people who, most parents seem to go through a stage of kind of denial or just thinking it's just a stage that their teen, it could be 10-year-old, it could be even a 20-year-old is going through with being queer or I guess even asexual, any of those things.
Even autistic.
What do you say? Let's just say they're listening because we've got lots of parents here listening. So what would you say to those people?
So I believe you're asking if a parent feels like, oh, it's just a phase, you know, they'll get over it. Or they're like, if they've got a friend who's non-binary, they're just following the trend. So what would I say to them? I believe that's what you're asking.
Yep.
Yes, yes, yes. So my thing is be supportive. Like, I know it's easier said than done, but, you know, just you got to be supportive. Like, even if it's if a kid picks up a new hobby, it's like, you know, they say, oh, I want to do soccer. I want to do, I don't know, art. You would support them regardless of that. And if it was any, even if it was a hardship that they'd be going through, you would support them. And this is just something in their life that they're going through the same way. And you're like, okay, I might not understand this now, but I will try to understand the best I can. You've got to work with your kid. You've got to work with them because they've grown up knowing that they're different. They've grown up and without the terminology, they've grown up with, you know, everyone around them not thinking the same way as they do, and they already feel so alone and they don't know why. It's like, you know, everyone got given the manual to life, you know, given the life, the manual to being straight or being cis, you know, understanding social cues, anything like that. I'm talking in context of being queer and neurodivergent. You know, you've got to work to, yeah, they've all been, everyone's been given the manual except us. They already feel so isolated and alone.
Yep.
And you've also got to give yourself grace of, okay, I don't understand now. I'm going to mess it up, but that's okay because we are human. And with a lot of parents, I fear, and like, this is just humans in general. We fear what we don't understand. So yes, your kid might come up to you and say, hey, like, I'm bisexual or I'm non-binary. You go, oh, okay, this is a new word. What's going on? You know, you sort of go into fight or flight almost. And as a parent, you know, and like us as adults, we've heard these words, like, you know, we hear queer, we hear everything like that. And we think of the history. We think of like what happened to queer people in the 80s.
Yep.
Like,
scary,
you know,
stuff.
If, like, you know, you got bashed or
yep.
like everything like that. And not only are we not in those times anymore, sure, we still face, we still do face discrimination. Okay. That's always going to be there because some people think just like live in the 80s, an 80s mindset. But that's not everybody. That's not you and that's not your kid and you're going to love, like, you would absolutely love them regardless. And even if they come out the other side being like, oh, I'm not non-binary, I'm just, like, I am cisgender, you're still going to love them regardless. And that's absolutely something people can do. Like, if you, like, come out as bisexual and you say, oh, maybe I'm not actually bisexual, I'm just cisgender, that's totally fine. Like, once you, so cisgender means you identify with the gender you were assigned at birth. So cis literally meaning the same side of.
Yep.
And trans meaning the other side of. Because it's all just language.
So what about the idea of being someone who's a support worker?
Yes.
Does that idea of a bias come along? Are you having to address maybe this idea that you're coming in with your understanding but also who you are as a person, mm-hmm. that you're just... You just want everyone to join the club.
Yes, join the queer club. Come on, we have cookies.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, so I work with, like, yeah, I've worked with people that, and especially because I love talking about queerness and, you know, people that have high support needs that where sometimes they're just never going to get it or sometimes they're just not going to get it and they'll say, like, oh, no, you're a girl, but you're a girl, though, but you're a girl. Like, yeah. And... you've got to give a bit of, like, you do have to give a bit of leeway because, like, and you got to give a bit of leeway initially, even with somebody who fully gets it, that, yeah, they're going to mess up. But you got to work with them and you got to get on, like, their level. This is with anyone. This is with a client. This is with a parent. You got to get on their level. This is from the perspective of the person that's come up with a new label. You got to get on their level. You've got to understand their language. You've got to understand their side. Because, like, even from an advocacy perspective, because when you come out with a new identity or come out with a new hobby, you advocate for yourself. So if somebody doesn't understand it, you get on their level, you understand their language, the way that they see it, and then use that. Like, even with, like, describing non-binary, because, like, back to the conversation of society only seeing gender as male and female, it's like, yes, the gender, like, it is binary. Like, there is gendered binary as in male and female, but there's also non-binary, meaning outside of that.
Yep.
Meaning not in the binary.
You were talking earlier about as you were growing up, you felt different.
Yes.
And then you got to a certain age where there was that intersection between feelings and concepts, where you were able to assign a concept, a label, an understanding to those feelings. How important is that as well for people to understand just how to know these, have these concepts early on, not later, is going to be helpful?
Oh, so helpful. Knowledge is power, and using that language, it helps us get what's up here in our brain out to the world. Like, even like when I didn't have the label, like I didn't know the word non-binary or asexual, like I knew I had that feeling.
Yep.
I just didn't have the words to describe it. Or even like autism, like there's so many labels under autism, you know, executive functionings, social cues, you know, interoception, like all the different senses, like proprioceptive, vestibular. There's so much language out there that even if it doesn't describe the way you feel to a T, it still has an element of, yes, this is how I'm feeling. Yes, this is what's describing, like, you know, these actions or the way that I feel. It is so important to have this language and have the tools to advocate for yourself and to teach people, but also, like, from the perspective of somebody who is learning about it, it just makes it a lot easier.
So let's go from feelings to concepts.
Yes.
To action.
Basically.
So what's the feeling of finally getting to take some action to you know,
take your
identity back.
Like, yeah, so much euphoria. So much euphoria. It's, yes, I can finally outwardly express it without... It's like I can finally say it in a way that doesn't have me screaming and crying at the end of the day.
Yes.
It's...
You're not hiding.
I'm not hiding, no. And, like, even if it's different, you know, treatments or different support groups or anything like that, it's, like... Sorry. It is so much euphoria to finally have a support, a label, a terminology, a support system that aligns with how you feel. Because you can't choose how you feel. Like, you can't choose to, like, if everyone's autism is different, you can't choose to feel, you know, like everything like that.
That's awesome. It's really
cool. I hope that made any element of sense.
No, perfect.
Yeah? I think
cool. I really do.
Because it is very hard to put into words, despite the fact that I love talking about language so much. But it's just like the euphoria that you feel.
And the empowerment.
And the empowerment, exactly. Like, everybody goes through it. Like, even if somebody's going through this massive transformation of like, yes, this is who I really feel. Whether like, if you're a cis person, for example, and you know, you like go through a transformation where you, I don't know, let's say lose a lot of weight, for example. Let's say that. That, in a way, is also gender-affirming care.
Yes, yep.
Because, you know, you're feeling more confident in your body and who you are as a person, and you, at your core, one of those things is gender. So in the same way that somebody may lose a lot of weight to feel more comfortable in their bodies, somebody coming out as trans or associating a label with themselves like autism, ADHD, that's them taking their power back.
Hello there, Future Dan here. I think we'll leave it there, and that's the end of part one of, well, it's an amazing, amazing discussion, isn't it? So part two will be coming soon after. Make sure to go onto the socials, come and talk to us on our private page or on just the main page. Send us an email. Make sure that you go on iTunes and Google Podcasts and all those other places and give us some stars, man, give us some stars. Hope you enjoyed and really looking forward to playing you the next part.